Peter kako bente bend što onako je individualno mnogo teško može da stoji kod mene u glavu. Znaš, uvijek se povržuje sa mnogo drugi poviše procesi i ljudi i kako ne li sa bilo koji drug bend, ali konkretno kad zborimo za Proto Martyr, teško mi je da možda ga zamislu bend kako bend bez dve stvari. To je Vijena i Ikezin, fanzinč. Još od prvi memorije na bend se povržuje sa Vijenu. Prv put ga imam tamo slušna, to isti dan ga imam gledano i uživo. Isti dan sam i fasciniran. Posle neko vreme, još jedan put se to i dešava. Umeđu vreme ostvarujemo nekoj sitan kontakt da se dogovorimo, da snimimo intervju. To se dešava. Prvična ideja je da se napravi intervju koje što posle ke treba da se transkribira za nov broj, valjda u taj moment šesti broj na Ikezin. To i ne se dešava, snimka si ostanuje u... Čuva se kako zimnica i evo svega pred novu godinu rešavamo da go puštimo tu snimku da vidimo što smo razgovarali. U taj moment ja i Joe Casey od Proto Martyr. Kako što kažem, Proto Martyr i Ikezin i Vijena skroz su u moju glavu spojivi, pravi jednu celinu. Naime, prv moj kontakt sa Proto Martyr je za vreme na jedan moj prestoj u Vijenu u 2014. godinu, kad oni su na evropsku turneju radi promoviranje na njen vtor album u taj moment, Under Color of Official Right. Svirif u Vijenu u Ritz klub, najverovatno. To je, Ritz klub je, da kažu, neko ekvivalent prostor kako Dom na mladi u Štip, ali mala sala na Dom na mladi. Svirif pred okolo 50-60 ljudi, genijalan koncert, super provadja se to, ja sam više fasciniran od band, slušam ga, umeđu vreme se vadi treći album, Agent Intellect. Agent Intellect mislu da ga iskače 2015. godinu, 2016. godinu su ponovo na evropsku turniju na kojoj što ga promovirav treći album. Ovaj turnij je više turnija na kojoj što oni kako band treba da kiknev, najverovatno da otidev na bolji label, na bolji booking, što se i dešava, pošto više u 2017. album izdavav za Domino. 2016. je turnija na kojoj što, eve, pokasno u razgovor ke čujete deka se zbori za momentu koji što svi od band ima postaveno rabote za celosno da se skoncentrirav, deka se u tuj fazu i iako je razgovor više, pa možda kažemo mnogo star, 7,5 godine, dobro je da se presluša od moment na toj što deka, znači, zbori se za planovi, zbori se za momentalne stvari koje što oni tak su ga napravili i sak se gleda feedback od sve toj. Inače, mi se tega dogovori smo za intervju preko Facebook sa najbanalni poruke od tip na zdravo, zdravo, gledava jedan put, ja sam u Vijenu, da li bi mogale svega poslat kako vtor put ke ve gledam da pravimo intervju za fanzin koji se vika Ikezin, na što posle nekoliko dana, to jest na dan na koncert, mi odgovori sva može samo potražine posle koncert i pravimo. Ja nemaš nikakvu ideju kako ke se snima. Taj dan kupi diktafon za da možemo da ga snimimo nekako. Snima smo ga na diktafon i ovo je taj snimka što ke go čujete. Ne znam koliko, znaš, kvalitet ti je radite, pošto na neki način, znaš, neću da go preslušam snimku sve dok ne iskoči celosna epizoda. Još uvijek sve ovo što ga zboru od memoriju od toga, pošto tako mi je nekako pozabavno da se realizira i svakom celosnu epizodu da go napravimo tako i ovaj najava u stvari da bidem samo bazirana na memoriju od toga. има много добри моменти у цел тој разговор, знаеш, о кој што разговарамо за начин на кој што тега е музика функционирала, тоа е ипак 7 години, 7 битни години, у кој што можда све тој не е застарено толку добро, или па можда е застарено е птен добро. Иначе, втор концерт на Протомартир се одржава у Челси, тоа е исто клуб кој што е, да кажу за нијансу, поголем од Риц од првичен, кој што е, ајде, сега, нека биде као голема сала на дом на млади, уштип. Поголем простор, нели, веќ по-познат бенд беше и по-хајпан концерт, и после овој више све иде у, да кажу, некоју нагорну смислу. Интервју го снимамо надвор, пред кафич, после концерт, тако да заради тоа е уствари целосна бука, немамо микрофони, на диктафоне се снимамо на меморијску картницу и овај снимка што го пуштам уствари едина снимка што го имамо, тако да туј не можемо ни да гледамо квалитет или нешто, знаеш, ако го е ицко компресирае, онда ќе е полош квалитет од тој, знаеш, да. Благодарност да до Ицка што го сачуваа снимку, благодарност што ме запозна со Протомартир, нели, што ме натера да ги искомуницирам и еве сега имамо можност ради целото иницијативу да слушнемо едно интервју. Така да, уживајте.
Okay, we are starting now. So, Joe, you wait, should I come closer to you? Can you hear me well?
I hear you good. Yeah.
I'll
make sure.
Okay. So, for the beginning, tell me which time are you in Europe right now? Which European tour is this for Protomartir now?
This is our third time being in Europe.
Okay. And how much time since you played in Vienna?
This is our second time playing in Vienna.
Yeah, okay. So the show in Riz was your first time, right?
First time, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was only our second show in Europe of all time.
Okay. And you're coming from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Were you born in Detroit? You are living all your life in Detroit, right?
Yeah, my whole life. I went to college in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but I'm...
I really like your presence on the stage.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thanks. He's your biggest fan.
Oh, yeah. I met bigger fans. Where's your tattoo? Thank you.
Okay, so no, first question was for me, like, let's say, because Detroit is something like a, you know, like a legendary place for this kind of music, right? You know, and basically what were you doing in the 90s while all that you know, like hype and all those bands appeared from Detroit, you know?
Well,
like, what were you playing in bands in that period, or what was going on with you? You know, you were studying, or
in the 90s I was in high school.
Okay.
And I had very terrible taste in music.
Really?
Occasionally I go out to see shows. Detroit was a lot more, it was a scarier place then than it is now. But you'd go to see shows, and I felt like an outsider. I wasn't really passionate about music, and but I saw a lot of great things in the 90s when I was in high school and college. It was only much later that I got into music.
Yeah. And what bands were you listening in that period while all that hype was in Detroit?
Oh, in the 90s, I was listening to. Well, the hype really hit Detroit in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, in Detroit, there's always music going on. Before, like, the White Stripes, for instance, there was, like, a very cool, like, art punk scene that was very popular.
Uh-huh.
I'd go to kind of, like, your basic, because I was a high school student, I'd go, like, your basic shitty, like, pop punk band shows. But there was, like, a very vibrant scene, but it was so small. It really, if you went to a show, you felt like you were an outsider if you weren't like cool. And it wasn't, it was just because there were so few people in Detroit at that time and people didn't go to shows. It was only later, like after the White Stripes, I remember seeing the White Stripes at the Gold Dollar and seeing them around and just by going to shows. And then all of a sudden it became like this big hype thing, bigger and bigger. And then after that, the scene became more garage rock, you know. It came watered down a little bit because they were so successful.
And when and what was the reason that you changed your taste in music? You started interested in playing in bands. You know, what was the main thing that pulled you into all those things?
What happened was my friend's band, which is called Tyvek. It's T-Y-V-E-K. They're a Detroit band, and they're still around, but they were friends of mine, and they really did it. It sounded like urgent. It was great. It wasn't like your typical punk. It wasn't your typical garage. It was an amalgamation of everything, and it was great. And just by being friends with them, I got to get like a better taste in music. Like I had bad taste in music, and the lead singer of the band is Kevin Boyer, and he was the first guy to play me The Fall, and the first time he played me The Fall, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But now it's like my favorite band. So he had good taste in music, and it's like that band and him introduced me to this other part of Detroit music that was very interesting and exciting.
Yeah, and I think that I can, I can see from this that you kind of, became interested in all those things like a little bit later than usual, because most of the kids, when they're kids, they're starting, you know, bands, stuff like that. So basically, yeah. And when was that exactly, you know, like the period? I mean, I'm not asking about the year, but something what happened in that period, like something important, some album release or something like that changed your...
Well, to be honest with you, there's two things. One is I got old enough where I realized that being cool and like liking the coolest bands and being, you know, up on everything that's cool is like a very pointless activity. And the second thing was my dad died, and my dad, I really got along with my dad. I really liked my dad. My dad died, and that kind of freed me up in a sense where I'm like, okay, we're only here for a limited amount of time. And so that really, it was kind of being sick of the cool scene and realize, and that's a good thing about Detroit music, is there is a part that's not, no one's trying to be cool. And the second thing was my dad dying and realizing like anyone can do this, it's fun, might as well do it now. Like I waited way too long, but I'm glad I got out of my 20s where I'm like worried about being cool, because I didn't, you know, like anybody else, I want to like the best bands and know what but not actually appreciate the music. So yeah.
And when we're discussing about Detroit, what's happening now? I mean, are you familiar with let's say new bands and stuff like that are coming from Detroit? What can you tell about the new bands that are like playing right now in the moment? Are there some bands that you are interested, I mean local bands that are not big or something like that?
Sure.
Are there some, and will you suggest some to...
Well, I'll tell you right now, let me run down a couple, because the great thing is, as an old man, you always think that the period that you lived in was the best musical period.
Yeah.
But it really isn't true. It's always going. There's still a lot of great bands in Detroit. There's young people coming up that are gonna kick us in the balls because they're so much better than us. There's one band. Well, it's several bands. They're called Growing Pains. They're a young bunch of guys, like 10 years younger than the guys in my band who are 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And they're like in several different bands. They're in Growing Pains, they're in Brothels, they're in Fake Surfers, and they're all doing interesting things. And on top of that, there's a really great, there's a lot of great female-fronted bands in Detroit. Specifically, I want to point out there's a girl called Shelly Salant that does solo guitar music as Shells, but she also does, like, she's in every band. If you talk to anybody in America, like, she's the number one person. And there's Casual Sweetheart, that's great. I mean, I could keep going on and on. There's a lot of shit music in Detroit, but there's a lot of great music too.
Yeah, I mean, it's normal. Where you have great music, you have tons of shit music, because it's proportional, you know, all the time. And it's familiar, the thing, the history, like, from Bad Babies and now the Proto Martyr. What was before that? What was going on? I mean, for you, do you have some bands, or the other members of Proto Martyr, do they had some bands previously before Bad Babies?
Well, I'll tell you, Greg has always been, he's been in a bunch of bands, and occasionally he mentioned, like, since he was in high school, he's the one guy that's like the musical guy in the band.
He was the one there as a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. I will admit now that when I worked at a summer camp in Michigan, I was a lead singer for a joke band called Rabbit Grannies that was terrible, but it was like my first taste of being a lead singer. I've never, you're the first person I ever told this, but I sang some songs for the first time ever, and it was all a joke for kids at a camp, but it was like my first experience of being like a front man. I'm like, oh, I like it, I want to do this more. But before, Bud Babies are really great. I think someday when we all die in a plane crash, they'll release like the rap, the Bud Babies stuff, and it'll be fantastic. But they're embarrassed by it. The reason I wanted to be in a band with them was because I heard the Bud Babies, and they're actually very good stuff.
Yeah, and you joined Bad Babies a little bit later than the other members, right? Or how was that?
I
didn't understand exactly, so better explain it.
Sure, okay. So. What happened was Bad Babies was a thing. I didn't want to be in Bad Babies. I wanted to steal them. And the basic idea, the way it started was I wanted Bad Babies to be my backing band for me to like put out a single or something. I just want to put something out. But we were hanging out so much, it was just they were enjoying coming up with songs for Proto Martyr more than they were for Bud Babies, because they're both good singers, but they really hate singing, and I think they kind of got tired of being that band. And so I was lucky, you know, that I at that point I thought Bud Babies was always going to exist, and then Proto Martyr would be me plus Bud Babies. But,
yeah. And as I found out online, you know, basically the basic idea was when Bad Babies were stopped playing for that, and Proto Martyr started, the basic idea was not to be the same members, but at the end it became that way, right?
Right. Yeah. At first.
And how that became? I mean, what was the plan then between you, Bad Babies, new band, the other members, and stuff like that? What was the idea then? What were supposed to do? I mean, how it happened to be the same people again?
I will tell you, at that point, it was like, okay, Bud Babies, please, like, play with me. My friend in Tyvek, Kevin Boyer, can play bass, and so that will be Proto Martyr. And then what happened was Bud Babies got Scott, who's right over there, to play bass. And then Kevin couldn't do it because he had a tour. Tyvek is a bigger, better band than us. And so I just took Bud Babies, and that became Proto Martyr.
Yeah. And at the beginning of Proto Martyr, what was the idea? I mean, were you thinking that it would got serious like this now, or it was just like, let's have some fun and what happens happens? I mean, what was, do you had some plans with that band? Do you, how do you started it, you know? I mean, do you had some ideas, what will you do, what will you work, what will be the future, or just left it to happen, you know, things to happen?
It was two things. It was one, it was just us being drunk and having it's better to do something when you're drunk than just sit around and be drunk. So at first it was just a fun activity. But then the other thing was, because I had toured with Tyvek and I had seen how they did it, I realized that there's two types of bands. There's bands that don't take themselves seriously, and then there's bands that do. And you need to actually like put in the work, and if you actually work at it, you can be successful. It's not like, and doing it the right way, not trying to put your name, but just like practicing a lot, giving a shit, showing up on time, you know, basic shit. And so that's kind of like what I instilled in them. I'm like, the basic idea was, hey, let's try to be a band so we can tour, we can actually tour outside of Detroit. There's a lot of great bands in Detroit, but they never leave Detroit because they don't have any initiative to tour anyplace else. So I said, we can be a touring band, and that was basically the start of it.
Yeah, great. And you as a proto martyr exist from 2008 or something, right?
2008 is when I had the basic idea, but we weren't really a band, I'd say, completely until 2010. It took about... It was in
Well, that was my next question, you know, like what... Because your band was like in 2008, and the first album was released in 2012, right? And what were you doing in that period? Like, it's officially 4 years period between, you know, like... forming the band and releasing the first album. What were you doing in that time? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I'm not sure for the States, but for here, it's kind of huge period, you know, like 4 years. Here, bands release albums in the first year, in the second year at most of their existing, you know. So what were you doing in that 4 year period before releasing the first album?
Well, I say late 2008, I met Greg and Alex. 2009, we started like jerking around playing songs. And what you do like in America, what you do is you play around for a while, you play really terrible shows, we have to pay your friends to show up, and then eventually you get to the point where you work on songs and you open. Like, what really started in 2010 is we started opening up for like better bands like the Intelligence from LA. We play like with great Detroit, like Tyvek let us open up for them. And so you go from being a band that like has to pay your friends to show up and no one's there, and you're coming out with songs, and in Detroit there's not very many labels that put out music, and we actually we know two friends in Detroit that had labels. But you basically just, you bum around and you get free beer, you don't get paid money, and you play shows, and eventually someone puts your stuff out. And so it took us a couple of years for that to happen, and from then it's been kind of the snowball going down the hill, you know. It's gotten bigger and bigger, but took us, you know, I think it's good that we played the shitty bars in Detroit with no money, and that's how we learned how to be a band.
You know, for example, let's say for me, you know, when I was a kid, one of the things that got me into this music and everything was exactly that what you were speaking, that being friends with the bands that you love, you know. So that when I was 15, 16, that really got me, you know. For example, I love now Proto Martyr. I listen to them, and you know, like we're kind of friends, you know. But you know, so that's what I want to ask. Is that the same thing that got you? Because we were discussing now for Tyvok. I saw that you are really influenced by The Fall or stuff like that, you know. And basically, like did that friendship, you know, with the bands got you, or what? Did that have influence in you, and it means to you a lot, you know? I mean, is that something that you really value, you know?
Well, that's the only reason we exist is because, and I'm sure it's the same in other cities and other places, but in Detroit, it's very easy to be in a band and meet new people, like meet people in the community. The community itself is very, there's a lot of bands in Detroit. There's not a very big audience. It's not like, it's different than, I guess, living in New York or Los Angeles or someplace where nobody has any dreams of making it. It's just friends hanging out. And that's how a scene develops, and that's how we were able to like sneak in and be a shitty band for years, just like any other shitty band. jam and then kind of hone our craft is because the scene in Detroit, at least amongst our friends, is very open and very excited about new things. It was more about friends. And at this point, I'm influenced by The Fall, but I'm more influenced by bands that I meet on the road or my contemporaries, people that I know, you know, like, so it's always based on friendship, and it should never be a technical skill, at least for me. It should be about, you know, having a good time, really.
And, I mean, do you all of you have regular jobs or no?
We used to until this tour that we did. This year we all quit our jobs because we're touring in America for a month. Then we come to Europe for a month. Then we tour America for 3 weeks. Then we go back to Europe. We're coming to Europe 5 times this year. As well as touring America 3 different times. So the jobs, when we quit ahead of time, but they would have fired us anyway. It's not, we don't know if we're going to have money at the end of it, but we have to tour.
Yeah, great. And this tour, for the first time, you were in the Balkans, right? You were in Croatia, you were in Slovenia, even, I mean, Balkans, or more specifically Yugoslavia, you know, let's say that's more. So what was the first opinion about ex-Yugoslavia, and what was the idea before going there? What were you expecting? What were you heard? What did you knew previously about Yugoslavia, and what was the feedback after those shows?
Well, I'll say right off the bat, I actually dated a Croatian for a while, but I will say this, like Jude, our sound guy, this is the first time I've been on tour with him. He's a Frenchman, and he says that he loves Eastern European, like the Yugoslavian countries, the best, because they have, whereas Western Europe is a little bit more codified and calcified and kind of stuck in their ways, Eastern Europe is open to new ideas and new things, and people, there's a vibrancy there that doesn't exist in America or other places. It's we all had a good time there. The crowds are very receptive, and I hope we can extend it more next time we go, because I like it. I don't know, you know, I'll go all the way up to the border of Russia. I won't go into Russia, but I'll go every place else.
Yeah, great. You know, we are joking, you know, here, like people in the Balkans don't have money, but they got soul, you know.
and that reminds me of Detroit a lot, is that it's a similar sort of scene, and I like that people make do with what they have, and they have a good time, and that's, you know, that to me is, and the glittering cities are never my thing. I like the real people, and I've had a good time for my limited time in those areas.
Great. Hopefully we'll see you down there, you know, in the other Yugoslavian countries soon, you know. Yeah, okay, now let's talk more about the proto-martyr, the music, the band. You released like 3 albums in 4 years, right? You know, it can be counted as, you know, like a really hard-working band and stuff like that, you know. So basically, like, I wanted to ask you, like, how much did you practice in those periods? Because you were touring in that period, you were playing, you were releasing albums, you know, and it happened to be like... I don't know how to say it. It happened to be like it's not something that many bands can do, you know what I mean? And you had regular jobs in that period, so basically my idea was, how did you manage to do that? I mean,
well, what happened is, I don't understand why, if bands aren't touring constantly, why they don't release music all the time. It's very easy to come up with new music. It's not hard to do. I hate people that sit on, like, oh, I need 3 years to craft my masterpiece. Nah, if you can't do it in 2 weeks, then it's garbage. So now that we're touring so much, we can't record, so we're not going to have a record out this year, but we're going to have a record out next year, because we know that when we get down to work, we can actually come up with something. It might be terrible, but so I really think, you know, that album a year thing, any good band releases an album a year. The Beatles release an album a year. The Fall release an album a year. Every fucking band on the planet can release an album a year. It's not hard to do.
Yeah, if you are into that, you know, if you're in. So one more thing about the names of the albums. I found it really interesting, the names of the albums. Like, can you give, let's say, I'll ask in one question for all three albums about the names, you know, and like, let's say, no passion, old technique. The other album is called like Under Color of Official Right, and the third is Agent Intellect. I mean, those are like kind of things that I mean, basically, I know what they mean, but how did you manage that? Because, for example, like Agent Intellect is a complex theory, right? And Under Color of Official Right is something with the law connected, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, basically, I don't know the history of No Passion, Old Technique, but I wanted to explain it to me. Like, do you mean it in let's say in real life, or for the first album especially, is that something that guides you in the life, or just you put it like not so serious, you know?
Every album title is, number one, drawn from the lyrics first, and all of them are very heavy with meaning,
all three albums.
Yeah, but they have no meaning.
At the end.
At the end, they have no meaning. The first one is a punchline for a dirty joke that I forget the joke. The second one was what our mayor in Detroit got arrested for. The third one is a philosophical theory that I tried to understand and couldn't, but I figured that it made more sense because the mind is unknowable. So in the end, I look for very heavy names for albums that have no meaning.
Yeah, at the end, there's no meaning. Okay. And about the lyrics, you know, I think that, I mean, I'm not sure, I got that feeling that you got more serious in the lyrics. I mean, previously on the second album and on the first album, I thought that some of the lyrics doesn't have a meaning, or were jokes, or were something like that, you know. It they were not so serious, but on this album there are many songs that are kind of, I consider them a serious one. So what was happening, you know, what made you do that, you know?
Well, the actual truth is, from the first record on, there's a mix between songs that have no meaning or are funny, and songs that are very serious. I had a song on the first record about my dad dying, and very stark, and people don't realize. And now that when I talk to my mom on the third record, they think, oh, okay, now you're being serious. It's always been a combination of seriousness and joking. It's been the same. It's just people are perceiving it differently.
Yeah. So okay, I was wrong with that. sorry man. No, I'm joking, you know. Okay. And what about right now there are elections in the USA, right? And what's going on, you know? For example, it's weird for me sometimes, because many bands that I know and I follow are supporting candidates, you know, all the time. And if that happens here on the Balkans, it's like something really crazy, you know what I mean? Because I mean, for it's not that crazy for people. For me, in the head, it's not logical that I would support some candidate for a president. You know, I would never do that. I have never voted until now, you know, at all.
I vote all the time.
Yeah,
I'll say I don't think a band's job is to be that specifically political.
Yeah, right now I think that, you know, Bernie Sanders is hyped by that alternative scene and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's still a politician, you know. It's just,
yeah.
I don't think a band's job is to booster politicians. I think we should be against politicians. reasons. Not that we, not that we're like against politics, but it's not a band's job to be political. We're political in our lyrics, but to actually like say we stand with this guy, you know. We joked all the time that we'll be a pro Trump band just to fuck with people, because like, yeah, I don't like Bernie's a great, I'm sure he's a great guy, but I don't like the, it's icky to me in this sort of. Yeah. Politics is cool.
Yeah, and what you know, like it's sometimes it's interesting because, for example, let's say in ex-Yugoslavia, I mean not in all country, but especially in Serbia, and right now in the last period in Macedonia, the politics of the United States and, you know, all the politicians are counted as I mean not enemies, but bad guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And basically, what do you think about it? About all those politics of the United States, you know, regarding the other countries, the smaller countries, or something.
We're packing our.
He's doing an interview.
All right. Oh. Yeah, I gotta finish it up. I'll finish it up real quick. What I think about that is that America, in general, is a very small-minded country. We're only concerned with ourselves most of the time. We have a very limited idea of geopolitics and what's going on, and that's talking about America in general. We've been the big hog for a very long time, and it's probably about time for us to be put out the pasture. I have no idea of like what we can do. The fact that we have these clowns being our representatives is disturbing to me. I think we used to be a good country. I don't know.
For example, what do you know about Macedonia, about the country where I'm from? Have you heard something about it?
Yes, I'll tell you specifically. There's a bar in Hamtramck, which is a small town in the middle of Detroit. It's a separate little city. There's a bar called Seven Brothers, and the owner, George, is very proud of his Macedonian roots, and he's very big on being Macedonian, and he loves the ladies, and it's a great little bar, and I don't know what happened to the other six brothers, but he's the one, he's still on it, and then he loves Macedonian culture. He puts posters up with Macedonian, that's a good bar, and that's actually where I first, I hung out at that bar quite a bit, and George is a great guy, and so all the people in Macedonia know that there's a guy named George that has a bar in Detroit, or Hamtramck, called Seven Brothers, and he is repping Macedonia and Detroit.
Great. Yeah, it's great. Okay, let's go back to music, you know. Like, we were discussing that you were not planning another album soon, right? You have not started writing songs, or how have you started?
We can't write on the road. That's impossible. But once we get back home, we have no jobs, so all we'll do is like come up with new stuff. We'll have a new album next year. It's a guarantee. Guaranteed. And then, so we will continue to record. Yeah,
great. And also, like, let's say from the, I personally think that the different, in musical part, the, let's say the second album, Under Color of Official, right? And the third album, it's not, there is no, like, change in the music, you know what I mean? So basically, I mean, I recognize the bands in two ways, like the ones that are like trying to progress and the ones that are not trying to progress in musical part. So what do you think about it? Why is that on purpose that you didn't change, or didn't change much, you know, it just happened that way, you know? Because
we're not a band that thinks about our musical choices. We're just a band that tries to come up with songs, and I think you should always change. You should never be like respect to the Ramones, and the Ramones even changed themselves, but you don't want to have like a template that you just rely on, but you also don't want to change for the sake of changing. You just got to follow what you do, and then, you know, you try new things, but don't ever try too hard.
Yeah, just don't go too far, you know.
We're not gonna, our next album's not gonna be a reggae album. It's not gonna be
yeah. Cool, it's cool. Tell me what was the let's say about buying records, vinyl, CD, stuff like that. What's going on in the States right now? I mean, because CDs are dying. I mean, what for you as a band, what are people buying more records or CDs?
People are buying nothing. The only thing that we make money on is T-shirts.
Really?
That's the reality in America. People want to buy our records in Europe, but we have to ship them over, and that's on us, and that's our cost, so we always don't bring enough. Like, we ran out tonight.
Yeah.
The reality is, we make money. Like, there's a joke. I forget what band it was. A guy joked with me. We're standing outside a big festival, watching the T-shirt sales, and he says, "Oh yeah, you got into music to be in a garment business, but you end up being a T-shirt guy. That's it's the only way you make. It's the only way the band makes money, because the sad thing about the music industry is you have to buy your records from the record industry to sell." And it sucks. So,
yeah, and tell me what the difference between the music scene in America, in the States, and Europe, you know, like, are there differences? I mean, I have never been in the States until now, you know, but I have heard that there are huge differences, even on the way the shows are you know, happening, you know, because as far as I know, for example, in the States, every show is like 4 or 5 bands playing half hour, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about big bands and big concerts. I'm talking about more like do-it-yourself shows, like smaller ones. As far as I know, is that I mean I have noticed that, for example, in the States, are most of the shows are like 5-6 bands playing half hour, and here are like 1-2 bands playing as much as they want, you know. Basically, that's one difference that I have noticed. But can you tell me more, like, have you noticed something else? Do you know some do you have to tell me something else about the differences, the culture in the alternative music?
In Europe, it seems like the state funds whatever country you're in, that the state is funding those organizations. In America, it's all capitalism, so it's you get screwed over. In Europe, people will give you food, they'll give you a place to stay, where in America they don't, because it's a capitalist system. Whereas it seems like in Europe they give a lot of money to culture, where in America they don't. They give zero.
Yeah, I mean, I have done in Kumanovo almost 200 shows until now, and there is no one single show that I have earned money, you know, from that. Do you know that? Yeah, it's weird, you know, the way that it's working, but at the end we realize that, I mean, I have an idea that in the alternative music is much better working, is much better functioning in the States than in Europe, you know, at the end.
Well, I think it's because in Europe, I think you can get into the idea that you don't need to work very hard. Like, you can play like a cultural event, or I know I have friends in France that have a thing where they get paid by the government if they play a certain number of shows, and we don't. Like, we have to hustle. We have to, you know. I don't know if it makes us better or worse, but it's a completely different system.
Yeah, we let's cut it. Is that you are in Curry? Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah, no, this is good.